Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to Star Wars Splash Page Comics in Review.
It is episode number 268. And welcome, Jeff and listeners, to Star Wars Splash Page, the second phase. Which is just like the first phase. And we're not going 150 years back in time. Hi.
Geek me all knowing box sets stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before. Cause Ren looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
Oh good, I don't do well with phases. My goth phase, my grunge phase, none of them are good. So phases are not kind to Jeff.
Well,
happy new year, everyone.
Happy new year to everybody and to you as well, Jeff. I hope it's new and improved.
So if it's new and different.
Well, there you go. That'll work too. So. Oh, yeah.
We only have one book this week, Dr. Aphra number 17, but what a book it is. But Matt, do we have some news?
We do. The 150-year reference is to the High Republic Phase 2, details of which were released today. And, of course, we're recording on Tuesday, January 4th. And it turns out that Phase 2 will be set 150 years before the events of the High Republic Phase 1 that is just now concluding.
So is this the not-so-High Republic?
Well, we'll find out. But essentially, this is, you know, the next phase will be set 350 years before the events of The Phantom Menace.
So maybe we won't have. Well, no, we probably could still have Yoda in those.
I would imagine so. You know, it just seems like, you know, we're like rolling in reverse ever closer back to the old Republic.
We're going
to
keep going back until Baby Yoda is actually Baby Yoda.
Exactly. There you go. And then that's how the twain shall meet. So, no. But as part of the reveal, it was a great little, short. It's about 20-minute, online video hosted by Lucasfilm and Star Wars. And what we gleaned, at least comics-wise, is that Kevin Scott will be writing the Phase 2 comic for Marvel of the High Republic, which is due in October. Similarly, Charles Soule is working on a story about Porter Engel, basically on how he became the Blade of Bardotta. So that should be a lot of fun. Don't know yet if that's going to be a miniseries. I think it probably will be. Similarly, at the same time, Soule had kind of talked a little bit about next week's two-issue miniseries, Eye of the Storm, which focuses on Marquion Roe. And then Daniel Jose Older, he will be writing an original graphic novel for the High Republic Adventures for Dark Horse Comics.
So, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, much as, they had said when they announced that Dark Horse was going to be handling all ages Star Wars comics, the publisher was very upfront saying, yeah, we're going to look at, stories up and down the Star Wars saga. But, the out of the gate, they're going to focus on the High Republic Adventures. So still no word exactly when this year beyond. All we know is that, sometime in the spring, Dark Horse should start resuming its publishing of Star Wars comics. So looking forward to that.
can we just say, Dark Horse, don't break up the graphic novel if it doesn't stand up to being broken up into single issues.
Knowing Dark Horse, I don't think that they would do that, and I think that they probably learned their lesson with the Monster of Temple Peak. I think by dint of the fact that the sales were somewhat low.
And, right.
You have to think that the sales would have probably been much greater had they actually published the graphic novel, both not just in comic shops, but also in like bookstores.
Right.
So, because that essentially removed that series from places like Barnes & Noble and Walmart and Target and other places. So I think they may have learned their lesson. Further, involving Star Wars comics, Charles Soule, whom we know is, has written the War of the Bounty Hunters miniseries, and we're now in the Crimson Rain miniseries, noted in his January 2022 newsletter that the third miniseries he's working on as part of that trilogy, The Hidden Empire, should be running from June to November. So we will probably see our first solicits on that probably in February or March. All of that is subject to change, depending on how Marvel does the scheduling. So we can at least look forward, and hopefully, fingers crossed, to The Hidden Empire come summer. So
that'll
be a lot of fun. And I posted this on the Facebook page and on the Twitter feed. But did anybody else notice that nice reference to Star Wars Volume 1, number 81 in the first episode of The Book of Boba Fett? Well, if you didn't, check out the Facebook page and check out Star Wars Volume 1, number 81. We've got the page there for you.
Excellent.
Yeah, it shows him lying on the Tatooine desert covered in sand. So, it's not exactly a faithful adaptation, if you will, because, by now, spoilers, Boba Fett sort of shot his way out of the Sarlacc and emerged through the sand, whereas in the comic he was seen, flying up and out of the Sarlacc. but still, we saw it, we loved it, and I thought it was great fun. So there you go. And literally, Jeff, that's all we got for news now.
Oh, is that all? Well, that's quite a bit.
So.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
If you've been hurt by a truck, you can call Colombo Law 24/7, and we'll be there to make sure you're taken care of. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
All right. Well, like I said, we do have one book to discuss. We have Dr. Aphra number 17.
Oh,
so and why don't we dive into that one with this great pink and red hued cover?
What a book, huh? Oh, my gosh. And of course, this main cover is by Sarah Pacelli and Nolan Woodard. And if you've been reading Dr. Aphra as religiously as we have, you'll notice, that's sort of like a dowser.
thought dowser, yeah.
A thought dowser. So, inspired by Sith technology, perhaps. So, I do love this cover. There's also, a couple of, great variants coming as well, including of Lucasfilm 50th anniversary by Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and of course, Niraj Menon. And that one features Amelin Holdo and Rose Tico from The Last Jedi. And then there is another variant that's got this great extreme close-up of Aphra wearing her goggles, and it's by W. Scott Forbes. So thankfully, neither of those two variants were ratioed. So if you did order them, you should only be paying cover price, which is always a good thing. Writer on the book, of course, is Alyssa Wong. Artist is Minkyu Young. The color artist is Rochelle Rosenberg. Letters are by Virtual Calligraphy's Joe Caramagna. And then, of course, a graphic designer on the book is Carlos Lau. The assistant editor is Danny Kazem. The editor is Mark Benizia. And for Lucasfilm, we've got senior editor Robert Simpson, creative director Michael Siglane, art director Troy Alders. And from the story group, we've got Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, and Emily Shkukani. And, of course, the creative art manager, Broaxium's number one fan, Bill Shostak.
And of course, last time we left off, we found out that Ronan Tagg is back.
And that's how we open up. And he's looking rather buff, still somewhat heavily scarred. Domina is, you know, to no one's great surprise, not surprised at all. and it's a very delicious intro page because Ronan is just ha 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 ha, you know, and Domina walks in. You're awake, Ronan. Guilty as charged. How do I look, Auntie Domina? Adequate.
I love the interplay between these two. There is no love lost at all.
This is pure ice. You
know? And we get some nice background. You know, he says, I've been catching up on the news, so I missed while I was recovering in my back to tank. So you wonder how long he's been in there. He says, I heard Uncle Silas's funeral was fabulous. And she says it was. And we get a nice callback to her stabbing him through the heart. Nothing but the best for family. He says, and what of Uncle Silas's shares in the company? And she says, what of them? As he's picking up, I'm guessing, is that... That's not a detonator.
I would think, you know, my first impression was, why does he have a thermal detonator on his nightstand? But I don't think it is. So
he throws it up and he says, well, he had no heir, much like yourself, Auntie, as he catches it. And she says, are you anticipating my death, dear nephew? I would never, but you're not getting any younger. Someday you'll have to retire in this company. And she cuts him off, is mine. I am Tag Corporation.
I love that line.
It lives and dies with me. It's great, and the look on her face is perfect.
Oh my God, it's very severe, and you know it kind of reminds me of Snoke.
Yes,
you know a very purpose driven Snoke. So
she snatches the ball and says, you know, I raised this company to this place of prominence. Many older and smarter, better people than you have tried to take it away from me. She says, but please, I encourage you to try. And he says, well, as you like to say, let's table that for now. I'm still healing from these scars. Speaking of, how is my dear Dr. Afrad? He looks just crazy in that final panel, doesn't he?
He looks nuts. And, I mean, he was already unhinged to begin with. But I got a feeling that, the trip in the back of the tank, the spell in the back of the tank has probably further unhinged him. So we will see if that plays out the next couple of issues.
That's the only non-Afra-related, non-Afra-featuring content we really have, except for maybe the last page. But from there we cut to Tace Somers' residence on Coruscant, which is where we last left Afra and Santa Staros, and they were set upon by a hooded figure who has shown up again and says, it's good to see you again, Afra. I've been waiting a long time for this. And Afra says, you, do I know you? Just so typical. And the person under the hood says, have you forgotten me, Dr. Shelley Afra? It is your sworn nemesis. Says, I'm gonna need a bit more to go on. And
just
then removes
smidge.
The hood, and it's Kofan Ferris. And I remember the name, but I don't remember this appearance, this look.
Well, there was a mention of her in Dr. Afra number 16. So and of course we saw her toward the end of that book, as the hooded figure. So that's how we know who it is. But this is a brand new character, it looks like. And one of the things I think is really cool about this is that Kofan Ferris is they. That's the preferred pronoun. And we
discussed that. It's nice use of the pronouns here. And I like that they just start them automatically, because I'm guessing because it's hard to tell if this character is male or female. Or unless Afra knows. The situation, and it's like I said, it was just a nice use of the pronoun. Didn't call attention to itself, but just they refer to the
they.
As they. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Which all I can tell about Ko is that they are really, really, really driven, and are really, really digging this technology that Afra is hunting. And it's clear that, Afra has had a lot of nemeses through her career, but as she describes Ko herself, where she looks at, we get this wonderful sort of posturing that kind of reminds me of almost something like out of a DC villain, Yes. Curse your fortune, for our destinies have brought us back together. Surely our meeting was preordained. The Force works in mysterious ways. And as you said, Sana says, you know this person? Unfortunately. remember how obsessed my dad was with the Ordu Aspectu? Ko's like that. But if my dad spent all day pretending to be a Jedi. So, and then of course, Sana, great panel, because she looks over to this pile of arms on the, that's literally, you know, arms on the floor. Let me guess, their area of research is dark occult rituals. How did you know? You archaeologists are all so weird. And then, you know, Ko chimes in. I get the sense you're not listening to me, Aphra. No, I'm not. The Sith wannabe getup is embarrassing, and so is that fake lightsaber. You're not force sensitive, and you're never going to be. But neither were the Ascendant, but that didn't stop them. And then she, you know, holds up the bag, you know, with the thought dowser. They built all kind of workarounds. So.
And I love this, and she says, and I never said this was a lightsaber. When you go to the next page, and she's got, it's a whip of some sort, like an electro whip. She calls it, behold the power of the whip of sorrows. And Santa, you know, tries to shoot it, and they whip it around her blaster and rips it out of Santa's hand. And then they say, leaving so soon? And Santa's like, my blaster isn't working. And Ko says, of course not. The Ascendant designed the whip of sorrows to feed on energy. This ritual only calls for 7 arms, but surely an additional 2 couldn't hurt. And this panel where Aphra hits her with, I think it's another arm. She says, someone's getting greedy. I love that panel because, you know, speaking of DC Comics, that's exactly what it reminded me of. Something out of like an old DC comic. It's great. And Santa starts running. She says, come on, everyone knows you shouldn't mess with ancient rituals. That's like the first rule of archaeology. As a superior archaeologist in the room, I'm going to do the responsible thing and confiscate this thought dowser. So she's just trying to make off with the goods. And Ko whips her arm and says, don't touch that. And she says, or what? You'll zap me with your...
Or Ko whips their arm and says, don't touch that. So, you know, and I mean, so...
Well, Aphra identifies as she, right?
Oh, yeah, Aphra. Yeah. Aphra. My bad. Yeah, Aphra's pronoun is a she, her.
Right.
So, unless she says otherwise.
True. So. As far as we know. Yeah. And if not, we'll correct and move on.
Exactly. And of course, my general policy is, you know, you respect people's pronouns. Otherwise, if you don't, your pronouns are going to be were and was. So.
I like that. And so Aphra says, or what? You're going to zap me with your, and there's a an earth shattering kaboom as she just gets launched. Everybody in the room just gets launched. And I love all of these arms that are just flying with her.
You know, and that totally works for me because I love that. Yeah, because, you know, that's the one thing and it made me chuckle out loud when I read the page the first time. Just, you know, they didn't have to do that. Minkyu did not have to draw all the arms everywhere. And I'm really kind of hoping that, you know, in her script, Alyssa just sort of made a reference to, you know, there's an explosion and arms are agog.
Right. And then Ko says, oh, I suppose I neglected to mention the Whip of Sorrows can release energy as well absorb it. So she's zapped. They've zapped Aphra's arms. And then Ko says, the Ascendant in their infinite wisdom built it to disable enemy technology and power their own. And Aphra saying, I can't feel my arm. And Ko says, I'd be surprised if you could. I just pumped the full power of your friend's blaster bolt through your human arm. Honestly, I'm surprised it's still attached. And Aphra says, is that what you did to those? And Ko says, light, no. Obviously, I used a knife, and this panel, this whole thing is just so arch.
It is. It's very arch nemesis. Yeah, and I mean, and it's almost over the top, but not quite. And it's almost campy, but not. But you could just basically tell that Ko is, yeah.
it's just campy enough. We get just enough of this character who's so over the top that you know people like this.
Oh, totally. So, and then we turn the page, and of course, and then Aphra, you know, it's like, wait, Ko. There's something you need to know before you kill me.
Now, let me ask you, Matt, did you buy any of this as she's saying it?
Not a lick of it.
Okay.
Although there was a hint of sincerity, but I think it was just enough to, you know, for her to realizes she's in danger, you know, that she's about to lose an arm. And then Aphra goes into this, you know, the soliloquy. I know I've been a bad person, bad to you and to everyone, but I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and become better, maybe even good. And of course, as she says this, she's surrounded by severed arms, to which Ko says, good, you. I know I can never make up for the way I've treated you, Ko. Mocking you a little or a lot, and maybe you'll never forgive me, and that's your right. But before you cut my throat, I just wanted to say there's someone behind you. And, you know, and does Avra say this? Are those crocodile tears, or is she fundamentally realizing I'm going to die? So,
you know, then, at this point, I think it's probably a bit of both.
I think it is. I think she's going full effect here, you know, just, you know, trying to set the scene, you know, set the mood. And then Ko goes, wait, there's no one there. Gotcha. Arg. You know, of course, you know, Avra gets off a blast from her blaster. I can't believe you fell for that. And then this is just the perfect panel, because you can just see the rage in Ko's face. She's holding the sickle every single time. This is why none of your colleagues respect you. Oh, they don't have to. I don't want your respect. I want that thought dowser and any other ascendant artifacts you've gotten your spooky little hands on. Of course, you know, this Ko knows why. So you can sell them. You have no respect for the artifacts themselves, for the history, the incredible technology of ancient civilizations like the Ascendant. It's always been about the credits with you. And Afra replies, I can find them fascinating without playing make-believe like a child. The Force doesn't keep people fed. Now hand over the bag. And then we get a little backstory from Ko here. So.
Yes, and I like that. She's when because Ko says, when I was a child, I did wish I was a Jedi. I devoured their tales, their stories, the records of their customs and beliefs. Then I realized something. Those who wielded the Force were capable of incredible, impossible acts, whether they followed the light or dark side. There were multiple rituals across cultures used to tap into the Force, but without a genuine connection, no one could hope to replicate the effects, except the Ascendant, and all of the arms levitate behind them. And then they throw it and says, they're not worthy. You're not worthy of their power, and throws all of the arms at them.
Talk about your right to bear arms.
And Santa's like, you know, they're heading for the window and they've got the thought dowser. And Ko says, I do. And that's just the start. I've made a discovery about the Ascendant that will change everything. All I need is a little more time, a little more blood, and a few more pieces of Ascendant tech, and jumps out the window.
Great, great panel here too, where she leaps out, because, you know, again, you know, she kind of here's what Ko reminds me of. Ko reminds me of the Marvel Comics sort of quasi-villain Tatterdemalion, because, you know, the way Ko's clothes are flopping about in the wind as they're falling out, you know, from the window. And then, you know, Ko just sort of declares, and once I have those, not even death will be able to stop me. So that right there shows you that Ko has got delusions of grandeur.
And do we know what species Ko is?
I do not know at all.
The fur on the arms is a little confusing.
It's a tad confusing, and but, you know, I'm not quite entirely sure.
I don't think maybe we're not supposed to know yet.
Well, it could be a secret. Who knows? So
Afra and Santa are watching, and Afra says, we should go after them. And Santa says, you want to jump out a second story window? And then they're as they leave, Santa's saying, me, my blaster is going to need a new cell, power cell. How was your arm? And Afra says, it's been better, but my electro tattoos are fine. Looks like Domina's new tech did his job, because if you remember, she got an upgrade. She goes, that whip is the problem, though. When it wrapped around my electro tattoos, I felt something. The same energy as the thought dowsers aboard the Vermilion. This time it felt like it recognized me. And Santa says, you mean like a living thing? That's impossible, right? And Afra says, oh, I met a computer that believed it was a Jedi, so I'm not ruling it out. For once, I hope I'm wrong, and I love this image of the thought dowser, just with the outline of the thought dowser with all of the ash and everything surrounding it.
Well, and I think that's important, because, you know, that really, really tells you just how lethal this device is, you know, and I think it really hammers home why Ascendant technology is so desirable, because it's so potent.
Right. And so, and Afra says, Ko said it was some kind of ritual, but it's not one I recognize. At best, we have a delusional killer, which wouldn't be our problem exactly, except that they're going after what we want, Ascendant artifacts. And she says, Taze Somar was our best lead. This is definitely his arm, though, so he's probably dead. And she figures out there's a magnetic metal device embedded in his flesh.
But just that line. This is definitely his arm, though. So
right.
He's probably dead.
He's probably dead.
Afra says it so nonchalantly.
I know. It's hilarious. And then she finds this magnetic metal device embedded in his flesh. She says it looks a lot like the Ascendant glove Ko was wearing. And then she says magnets, and Sana says that's how Ko made the arms levitate, not the Force. Santa says, I still think you're holding, I think you're still holding our best lead. Tay Sumer was buying and selling artifacts on the black market, which means he must have had a list of clients and sources.
Exactly.
And Aphra finishes her sentence, and they don't know he's dead. Sana, you're a genius. If we can track them down, we might be able to find someone he sold an ascendant artifact to. They're very rare, which means expensive, which means we can rule out all but their richest clients. So they immediately start rifling through all of his records. And Sana says, what do you think our chances are of encountering Ko again? And Aphra says, I'd say very high. I can't wait. And that inset of her, you know, that smile, that Aphra smile that we all know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And from there, we cut to Brintal 4 later. And Aphra says, I'm dying to know what Ko's big discovery is. And we see Ko sitting in there, I'm assuming their living room or something.
Yep. It looks like you can see their trophies, you know, in and around, perhaps. And, you know, and Ko is going through their data pad, you know. Ow. Curse you, Aphra. My next
and
target.
You know, I said fur, but they may actually be feathers on their arm.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm looking at that, too. That could be plumage.
The data we got on the data pad, they say my next target is somewhere on the auction list. If only the pain wasn't so distracting. And then they get an incoming transmission from the archivist, who we know from Crimson Dawn, from War of the Bounty Hunters. And they say transmission accepted, and it's the archivist saying, "Young Kofon Ferris, how is your research proceeding?" They say, "It's progressing well, archivist. I haven't yet found what you seek." But I pledge it. Archivist is very good. I sense much promise in you. In another life, perhaps you would have made a worthy Sith. Bring us the Ascendant's legacy, the spark eternal, and you will find your place in history. Crimson Dawn eagerly awaits you. So as always, Crimson Dawn has their finger in it.
Very much so. Very much so. And that, you know, and again, I think this really builds on this mystery behind who the archivist is.
Yes,
you know, because that was the one thing that really left me reeling from, you know, reading Crimson Dawn or Crimson Rain. So,
right. So, yeah, a good issue, you know, some good action and connective tissue. And, you know, we're introduced to a new character that is very intriguing and going to be a lot of fun for a new nemesis for Aphra.
Very much so.
So, big recommend there. What have we got for solicits for next week, Matt?
Well, we have a few more comics than just the single one. What we've got coming out next week on Tuesday, look for Bounty Hunters Volume 3, and that's the trade paperback that collects the War of the Bounty Hunters crossover issues from that series. That's issues 12 through 17. And then we are also getting the Weapon of a Jedi trade paperback, which is collecting the two-issue IDW miniseries. On Wednesday, January 12th, we are getting Star Wars number 20, Star Wars The High Republic, Eye of the Storm number 1 of 2, The High Republic Adventures number 12, and Bounty Hunters number 20. So it looks like we've got 4 books.
Good grief. How hard is it to give us 2 books this week and 3 books next? That's all I want to know, Marvel and IDW. That's all I want to know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on, folks. Well, we'll be back next week with a more epic version of the show.
Exactly.
Until then, for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
And I am Matt.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Stop peeing!